Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong. Rigid. Unyielding. Get cast iron strong. Whether you're fighting, training, or competing, represent your game and be strong. Warrior Strong. We are Warriors Fitness and Urban Wear, symbolizing the warrior in you. Find us at WERWarriors.com. It's the ladies of MMA Madhouse. You're listening to Cage Fire Radio.
And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they say there.
Won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, beat them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it. My folks locked down. Whoa. I never went nowhere. What they say in loot is back. Blame it on that contour.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday night. It's time for the ladies of Madhouse on Cage Fire Radio. And tonight, it's a Pacific Northwest edition. Let's start out by bringing the hostess with the mostest. Miss Caitlin, how are you tonight?
Doing absolutely wonderful. What about you?
You ladies know I'm living the dream. Let's get that partner of yours in here, Miss Kari. Come on down.
Hey, guys. Happy to
be
here
tonight.
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. Excited for the show, as always.
Yeah, we have an exciting show tonight, depending on how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, I will start working on the first guest. Will you ladies chat it up?
All right, sounds good. So what have you been up to, Kari? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. Watched some fights, of course. Did you watch any?
No, I missed UFC, and I was so bummed. But I heard about Chael Sonnen. It pretty much ruined my day. Like, really? Why?
Oh, it ruined mine, too.
Why does stuff like that have to happen? You know, I got nothing to say. I just don't even want to live here anymore.
You'll have to Google his post-fight speech, a little interview there where he kind of spit a little rap out or rhyme that he wrote. It was
A little poem.
Mm-hmm.
He's so I just can't stand him.
His look.
Anyways, Uriah Faber. Can I get an ow?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
God.
Talk about an MMA crush right there. Minus the chin, he would be like a 10.
I agree with that. I thought he was in trouble.
Oh, yeah. I heard the first, I heard something about one of the first two rounds didn't go his way.
Yeah. Well, of course, he pulled it off.
Yeah. That's awesome. That was good to hear.
Yeah.
I always like to see him win.
Me too. It was an amazing card.
Really? Yeah, I'm so bummed that I missed it.
Yeah. You missed some good fights. Did you have any events this weekend?
What was that?
Did you have any events this weekend?
You know, I was supposed to cover FAMA, but my friend was in a bad car crash and went to the hospital, so I actually spent all weekend there, which is why I missed UFC and FAMA. So anybody that I expected me to be there, I'm extremely sorry I wasn't. But circumstances changed that. So I did hear that Jesse Romero won, though. Yeah?
Hey, ladies. he's coming. I love it, dude. She knock walked from the phone. You hear Phil talk to Jim. Kevin, we interview you now.
What? I didn't get any of that.
Dude, Enoch just yelled across the gym at Kevin for the radio interview. It was hilarious. I was listening to it while you guys were talking.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Who do we have on
the
list?
Hi, how are you?
7-11?
This is Kevin Graham.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if you were on first or if David was on first. Well, welcome back. We had you on last season. Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Why don't you reintroduce yourself to my co-host, Kari. She's from Indiana. So she doesn't get to see all the amazing talent we have in the Northwest.
Hi, my name is Kevin Bain from Animals MMA. Is that all the introduction I need? Sorry, my mind's a little fuzzy right now. I just got pulled from training to come do this.
Oh, okay. What were you training for? You have any fights coming up?
Yeah, I got a few coming up. September, October, November. Yeah. I'm trying to jam some more fights out going pro at the end of this year.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
What makes you want to do that?
Congratulations on that.
What made me want to do that?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I've been doing it for a little while now. I finally got, you know, I've always kind of had a little bit of a mental block. My coach Enoch calls it the fight war, and since I've been with Enoch, he's got me completely over it. Did a fight down in California about 3 weeks ago, and I went against one of the best opponents I've gone against so far, and I was able to just pick him apart and put everything down where it needed to go, because I just was over the mental block. And then the weekend after that, went to Washington and won a belt fight with one day notice. And against that opponent, 30 pounds heavier. So I feel like I've been in the game long enough to go pro.
Wow, that's a big step. And you're 19?
Yes, ma'am.
20? Okay, so what do you think is going to change for you going pro? And especially, how do you think that'll affect your personal life now being 19?
You know, once I go pro, I'm going to be having to dedicate a lot more time. I've actually switched up the work. I'm in the midst of switching up the work I'm doing right now. Go to less labor. That way I can put more into my training and, you know, put in everything I need to do to be a pro.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for our audience, you heard it here first. Because you haven't posted on Facebook or anything yet, have you?
No, ma'am.
All right, yes, it's a Cage Radio or Cage Fire Radio first. There we go.
Hey, Kevin.
You guys are first.
Let me ask you a quick question. I know you said you're going to try to wrap up your amateur career by year's end and that you have some dates. Is there any chance you can tell us what events those would be?
I'm waiting for JRT to give me an opponent to defend my belt. But I'm also going to be doing rogue fights. And actually, Coach Enoch's about to hear what I haven't first talked about it yet, but I'm on the communication with WFC in Reno. And so, you know, just a few of those events. And basically anybody wants to give me. You know, I'm in the gym all the time. I don't take breaks. I had my first break this week because I've been in two crashes and two fights in the past 3 weeks. So took a few days off, but I'm always in the gym, always ready for fights. So no specific venues besides those three. You know, anything that I'm offered, I'll take, you know. Always prepared.
You know me. I like you. I think you're a great kid. I know you got that grit in you. I'm curious, you know, obviously tonight you're a guest and we're trying to interview you, and a lot of people out there might be wanting to know what's behind this going on now. It's the camp you're at now and what Enoch has been able to do with your game, or is this just something in your heart that you think you're ready?
Oh, it's both. You know, I know in my heart that I'm ready, but over here at this camp, you know, they reinforce the fact that I'm ready. I go through torture over here to get to the best. You know, I got a great coach behind me for getting me there. And one of the things about the last gym, I was in a big gym. I love that gym to death. Great coaches and everything, you know. But over here, I'm able to get a little bit more focused, work on people more my size, and got a good personal connection with the coach, and it helps me a lot. You know, coming up under Corey White was the same way for me when I started out. I had a personal connection with the coach, and, you know, that's something that's very important for me. I'm a very emotional fighter. I get connected with my coaches, and how I focus is, you know, I got my coach is always telling me focus, you know, and so I just need somebody to stay on top of me. And now that I got that, you know, that definitely is getting me prepared to go pro.
Ladies, I'm not going to steal the whole show, you know. I'm just kicking back around the board, but I had to ask him, you know. I like this kid, you know. I know a lot of people in the Pacific Northwest are going to feel like, because they don't see you train every day, they're going to be like, you know, maybe you should stay a little longer an amateur. But obviously you have a phenomenal and Enoch with an impeccable lineage behind him for his career, and it's not even close to being over. So if he feels that it's time, and you and your heart feel it's time, you know, screw the naysayers. But I'm just curious because, you know, people are going to ask us. They're going to say, well, why is he going pro already? You know, so I wanted to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. If they ever got a question, you know, they can go into the gym anytime and see me there. You know, I go work 11 hours a day and then go train for 4 every single day. You know, I wouldn't be saying I was ready if I didn't feel I was. You know, I feel I'm ready to go as soon as possible. And, you know, first good shot I get. But, you know, me and Enoch are making sure. You know, I went and took out a guy from Shoot a Box in California who was supposed to beat me up real good, and I took him out in 1:24. So the naysayers can kind of, you know, look at that and then tell me no.
Now, from my understanding, you've done quite a bit of switching gyms in the last probably year. What made you decide on Animal MMA, and when did you decide to go look at them?
You know, I've switched a little bit, you know, trying to find the right place for me. And actually, while I was still under contract with ONE MMA, formerly known as Team Quest, I came over here just to try it out, and instantly I was hooked in. The feel of it was more of an at-home feel. You know, I was skipping practice at Team Quest to come here. But it's just, it's somewhere I feel comfortable, and the coach is able to work more one-on-one with me, like I said, and that's something that I've always found very important.
Mm-hmm. So do you think for most fighters, because like you said, you went to a big gym, there's a lot of fighters there, do you think a lot of fighters connect better with their fighting when they're from when they work in a smaller environment with a lot less fighters and more coaches?
Oh, yeah, I'd suggest it to anybody, you know, because you go into the big classes, you know, you go into the big gyms, the only people that really get focused on are the big names, you know, the pros, and not the ones coming up. And, you know, they take a little less time to focus on everybody else. They teach you your basic 1, 2, 3 in a line. And, you know, I've been doing this too long to be standing in a line counting 1, 2, 3 down the row with somebody. And, you know, over here, I'm able to, you know, have specific combos that work with me. I work with Enoch all the time. I actually coach some time over here and replace for Enoch. And so, yeah, I'd suggest smaller gyms to anybody. It's more of a family feel, and so much of this sport is cerebral, you know. It's very mental. And the small gyms for me is a huge mental asset to me. You know, it's something that's very important. It really depends what you're trying to chase in your career, though. You know, if you want to learn the basics, go ahead and go to a big gym. Or, you know, if you're already big-time pro, big gyms are the good place for you because the coaches will focus more on you. But when you're just an up-and-coming amateur, you know, they're not going to take as much time as they will as, you know, at a small gym where most of them are amateurs and they're building pros.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't, like Caitlin mentioned in the beginning, I don't really, I'm from Indiana. I'm Kari. I'm from Indiana. Don't really have a good background knowledge on you. You know, what are some specialties of yours? What got you into the sport? Like, give me a little bit of background information about yourself, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. You know, getting into the sport, I was 17. Yeah, 17. I just moved back from Newport, and I was living in Eugene, had kind of a troubled life back there, and so I figured I wanted to stay out of trouble, so it was either you know, go get in trouble or find something recreational. So my little sisters, or kind of little sisters, they were going to this gym called Midtown MMA, and they had me jump in, and right off the bat, I was hooked. You know, just the feeling of the gym, getting to hit somebody and not get in trouble. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And so I got into that, and I started committing myself full-time to it when I figured it was, if I'm always in the gym and I'm always working, then I got no time to get in trouble. And then I found out, I got a kind of a knack for this, so something I decided to stick with.
Well, I'm glad you found something that sounds like you are doing well. I'm glad that you found another way to channel yourself and not into trouble. Congratulations on that. Not everybody can say the same.
Yep.
But we kind of got to wrap it up here with you. If you don't mind, can you give a shout out to any sponsors and your social media? Let the listeners know.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Animals and May, of course. I'm over here. If you ever want a good training with some of the best guys around, the top amateurs building pros, Animals MMA over in Hubbard. And also shout out to my new sponsors Down to Scrap in California and Bridge City Fight Shop for helping me with all the stuff they have, good guys over there. But all right, and thank you for having me on, guys.
Hey,
thank
Kevin.
You. Hey, do you have Twitter or Facebook?
Yes, I do. And I hear somebody in the background.
Yeah, Kevin, Skippy, before you get out of here, is Enoch coaching right now?
Is Enoch coaching right now?
If he's not coaching right now, ask him to hop on real quick. We want to ask Enoch a few questions. If he's coaching.
All right, one sec. One sec. Give me a second. Sorry, sir.
Dude, I know Enoch is just a great interview. Plus, I'd like to see what's up, man. I know I think he's all healed up, and I'm curious if we're going to see him up at any of those big old professional cards up at Cage Warrior Combat. I don't know if you ladies saw it, but wow, they got insane card coming up.
Enoch's a little busy right now, but he's got an undefeated fighter he wanted actually to get to you guys tonight to try out.
Cool.
Yeah?
Put him on.
Let's talk to him.
Hey, Chance, come here. Here, I'll have him introduce himself. Here you go.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Chance.
Hi, welcome to the show.
What's happening?
Not much. We're just excited to have you on. It's a full night of Animal MMA.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm excited to meet you guys.
Well, why don't you tell us your name and a little bit about yourself?
I'm Chance Stamps. I've been training for about a year and a half. I'm 2-0 from Hubbard, Oregon. I've been training at Animals my entire career. It's a great gym.
Hmm, that's what we're hearing.
What's that?
So, what got you into MMA?
Well, I've been wrestling since I was 12, and I came in here for my first day and, got to learn the whole striking thing, and I really liked that. And it just came really natural for me.
So, Kevin told us right before he put you on that you're an undefeated fighter. How many fights have you had?
Only two.
Where have your fights been at?
The first one was at Club Zoo in Vancouver, Washington, and the second one was at the Rumble at the Roseland.
Well, cool. Wow, those are some big shows for a first debuter, or even only one fight in. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Kevin Keeney was actually my old wrestling coach, so.
That's cheating. Yeah, that's an advantage for sure. That's really awesome, though.
Yeah, Keeney's a great guy.
Yeah, for sure. Have you worked with any of the people at Rumble at the Roseland? Like, going there for your first time, did you know any of the fighters there? How was that experience being put on a big stage like that?
Oh, it was great. You know, I didn't really know anyone except for anyone on my own, only the people on my team, you know. But Enoch's a great coach, and I trust my coach and my gym that I was prepared. I was, so it worked out good.
Awesome. Well, I'm super glad to hear it. Congrats.
Thanks.
So what do you have coming up as far as your career is concerned? Do you have any fights lined up or?
I'm not 100% sure. I might be fighting in October, November. I'm looking to make maybe my Muay Thai debut in November, so definitely looking forward to that.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to jump in here. It's Skippy. For somebody like myself who might not know much about you, I know I'm jumping back and forth. So if you already answered these questions, just tell me to shut up. But what was driving force to get you into this combat sports? Were you in junior high and high school? Were you into, you know, football, wrestling, any basketball, anything like that?
Yeah, I was actually into wrestling. I've been wrestling since I was 12, and like I said, Keeney was my wrestling coach, so, you know, he kind of got me into MMA. I came here and just loved it. I loved the atmosphere and the great coach, great teammates, so, you know, just kind of naturally driven to that.
Now, you know, you say you're naturally driven to it, and now you're talking Muay Thai. Have you decided to settle down permanently already in MMA, or do you find something you enjoy?
Absolutely, yeah. I just I like martial arts of all type. I got introduced to striking when I started doing MMA. So, like I said, I was a wrestler my whole career, so I want to get a little bit of that in. I'm actually starting to like striking a little more than grappling, but, you know, I'm an MMA fighter. That's what I want to make a living doing, so I'll stick with that. But I'm just trying out a little Muay Thai, you know, I like it.
Well, it's obviously going to help your game. I mean, if you're able to focus in a fight strictly on, you know, your footwork, your ability to throw the knee and bring the hip over where you don't have to worry about a takedown, that way when you are in a fight, in a clinch, you can feel the body movements and know how to wrap that hip over quickly, you know, so it's great for your game. I mean, when we see you do
submission
wrestling too?
What's that?
Will we see you do any submission wrestling tournaments? Because I know the Pacific Northwest is blowing up with them.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been really wanting to get into a jiu-jitsu tournament, but I'm not exactly sure because I'm training Muay Thai on the weekends. And, you know, I'm in a Burt camp, training Muay Thai in Burt camp. So it's kind of, they only accept 15 people in a year. So you got to be consistent, especially when they have classes on the weekends and stuff. So.
I feel you, bro.
A little more, yeah. Yeah, that's a little more important than the jiu-jitsu tournaments right now to me, at least, since I got a Muay Thai fight coming up in November, possibly.
Okay, let's play some questions with you. I'm gonna ask you a few. Just give me one answer question. Who would you say professionally you think your fight style is most like?
Oh, probably my coach Enoch, you know, because he's taught me just about everything I know. Actually, he has taught me everything I know about MMA. So, yeah, I do a lot of the stuff he works.
Worst guy in the gym to grapple with?
The worst?
Yep.
That would also be my coach.
I can imagine.
Okay, other than the UFC, if there was one organization you can have your pro career in, what would it be?
The UFC?
Other than that.
Oh, did you say this? Other than the UFC? Oh, I'm sorry. Probably, I'd have to say Bellator, you know, because that's probably the second biggest one out there next to the UFC. So, yeah, I'd be happy fighting there.
One last question, and I'll let the girls have their show back. And this is, you know, once again, for fans to kind of get to know you a little better. Two favorite fighters and why?
Randy Couture and Dan Henderson. I'm a big fan of the team. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Dan Henderson, honestly, I'd have to say is my favorite fight. Actually, can I change that? I'd have to say my coach and Dan Henderson.
Aw. Well, that was nice. Dan Henderson's a great pick. He's one of my favorites, too. Watched him since
he died. Tough guy. Never been knocked out before. Along with my coach.
What is it like working with Enik? You know, I went to his boxing event, I think about a year ago, and he was he's so sweet, such a gentleman, and like he had such a great setup for me when I got there, and it was super awesome. But he's so crazy, and he's so like loving towards his team, and like what is it like to work with somebody so dynamic and outgoing and personable like that?
Oh, it's great. You know, we're all like family at this gym, and honestly, I'd say Enik is probably obviously the best 145er in the Northwest, and I'm a 145er myself, so that's really great. I get some good training, good sparring. Yeah, it's great. I like it. I wouldn't trade it for any other gym.
That's awesome. And I've seen him. He goes out with every single one of you guys to be your corner. What is that like having him in the corner? Because there's been a couple of times where he's just going nuts, and there's another couple of times I've seen him, he's extremely just focused and quiet and, like, calmly telling you guys. I mean, what are the different emotions that you can feel from him or see him doing while you're in the cage, and what is going through your mind?
Well, you know, at the beginning, he's usually pretty wild and, you know, crazy,
yeah.
You know, getting us all pumped up. But when the fight's going, you know, he's really, like, focused into what we're doing, you know, so he can correct us. He's looking at what we're doing, what the other guy's doing, you know, just pretty much filling us in our corner. So, I mean, I've honestly never – I've only had him at the beginning. I've never went to the second round, so I wouldn't –
Oh, really? Wow. Who are your opponents or who are the people that you fought your two fights?
The first fight was against Cody Wagner from Big Dog Fight Association. I don't know, something like that. And James Wade, I'm not sure where he's from, but he's from Lincoln City,
okay.
You know that.
Hmm. All right, well, that sounds cool. Did you know any information about them? Were they debuters? Did they have experience? What did you know about them going into the fight?
I went in literally knowing nothing except for they're going to be weighing the same weight as me on fight day.
Hmm.
Does something like that bother you, or would you rather know a little bit more about them?
You know, I'm not too really worried about what they're doing. I'm worried about my game and what I'm going to be doing, not their game. So I'm not too worried about it.
So me and Kari, we've asked quite a few fighters that come on to our show. We want to get to know them in and out of the cage. So one of our biggest questions that we ask, what is your fight week like? Do you have something that you just have to eat during fight week, even though you're cutting? If you do, what is it?
Shrimp, celery, and almonds. And, you know, like fruits and stuff. Good stuff for cutting weight. You know, I like to keep a lot of alkaline, you know, high alkaline. So.
Okay,
yeah.
And what is the first thing that you want to eat after a fight?
Pasta. Or actually, the very first thing is salmon. Then, and then your fruits. You got to eat your proteins for your sugars. And after that, there's pretty much anything with a lot of carbs, good carbs.
No, I think that is the most different answer we've ever had. Don't you think, Kari? We always get like,
oh yeah,
animal crackers, ice cream. We've had.
Oh no way.
Yeah,
that
we had someone. Ah man, we had someone come on. I don't remember her name, but she's like, I just have to eat animal crackers and ice cream the entire week of fight week. Like, I just can't.
That was a tiny tornado.
That's
oh,
right.
That's a terrible diet to have
like,
on
I
fight
just
week.
Can't help it. It was pretty awesome. And me and Kari were just like, what? And it was so awesome.
Yeah, definitely. If you can fight successful eating animal crackers and ice cream, then hats off to you.
For sure.
Well, how do you occupy yourself outside of me?
You know, I like to go on hikes, bike rides, just, you know, fishing, stay active when I'm not training, which is very little time. Cause, you know, I work out 8 hours, and I train. I basically work 8 hours, then go straight to practice afterwards, so I don't have a lot of extra time.
That's nice. I mean, I love hearing people that have, you know, as much dedication as that. It proves how much heart they actually have for the sport.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough sport. You got to have heart, or, you know, you got to, basically, you got to hate it to love it, you know?
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying the week of cutting.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely... That's the easy part.
Really? Wow. I expect, you know, I bet you Tiny Tornado sits there like animal crackers on her counter, and she's like, I hate this sport. I just hate it. That's
yeah.
Why when she breaks down, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does. You definitely got to keep, it's hard to keep your mind on the fight. It's cutting away.
Well, how far away from the gym do you, or go ahead, sorry.
So I was just going to ask him, you know, some people may be listening that are involved in the sport themselves. You know, do you have any advice for people getting into MMA?
It's all about who wants it worse. You just got to keep your nose to the grindstone. The man that works the hardest wins always. So, you know, just keep your nose to the grindstone, keep your head up. Yeah, but basically that's it.
Sounds like you have a lot of stuff going on at your gym right now.
Yeah.
How far away do you live from your gym?
Just right down the road.
Oh, okay.
Probably
I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's such a small gym in such a small little town. I was just wondering where all the fighters from there come from, because I'm sure not all of them are from Hubbard. So
a lot of people from all around. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we got a variety of people. We got actually, I think maybe me and like five other fighters are from Hubbard or something. Most of them are from come out from different gyms or different cities.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. How does that improve like the environment? How does that improve your game by getting all these people from different gyms and different areas that have different training and technique? How does that affect and help you?
It helps me a lot. I try to spar with and, you know, get as many different techniques from as many different people as I can, as many different body types, you know, the more the better, especially an amateur. A lot of the time you don't know who you're fighting, fights fall through. You got to be mentally flexible, you know, so it's good to get a bunch of different body types and mindsets and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to wrap it up. I would like for you to do me a favor, tell us where we can find you on any kind of social media networks, you know, Twitter, Facebook, if you have them. And if you have any shout-outs to give, go ahead and give them.
Big shout-out to basically just all my teammates and my coach, my wrestling coach, Derek, Tony, and Jeanette Darcy. They run the gym. We couldn't do it without them. And, that's it. And you can find me on Facebook. I got a one fight on YouTube. It's just type in Chance Stamps MMA and you can find it. It'll be right there. It's kind of a crappy video though.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm glad that we got to talk to you, and good luck with your career. Look forward to seeing how far you go.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. No problem.
For sure.
And tell your coach thank you as well for taking the time out tonight to get you guys on.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Not a problem at all. Thanks for having me. Do you guys want to talk to Enoch?
If he's available.
Yeah, if he's all right, not
there. Yeah. All right, hold on 1 second. I'll go get him.
Well, he was a nice guest.
Animals.
Yes,
Christian. Animal speaking.
Well, hello.
I'm just joking with you guys. It's okay. I'm here. I'm just playing with you guys.
Cool. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, awesome. Just wonderful. You have some very pleasant fighters to speak with.
Yes. Yes, they're pleasant. As long as you are not signed on the dotted line, fight them.
Good way to put it.
You've had quite the amount of fighters come out of there that are winning and winning and winning. It's crazy. I've been going to FAMA, like, religiously the past 6 months, and all I see is Animal winning. Animal winning. I just see your name on the list. I'm like, well, there's a win. Crazy. What are you doing there? What are you giving your fighters that nobody else is?
Well, honestly, I think what I'm giving my fighters that nobody else is truly everything that I know. I there's no secrets for me. I don't hold anything back. I don't treat them any different than I would treat another pro fighter, except maybe I cut the time a little bit shorter because I want them to train specifically for their time limits. However, that being said, I treat them just like I'd be prepping a professional fighter. I make sure that I use discretion when it comes to certain things. I'm very individualized with each one of them. They have a different psyche. Obviously, every individual is different psychologically. So I really try to pinpoint that and try to work around that. My coach, Scott McQuarrie, was really well with that, worked really well with that stuff and helped me out a lot. So, I just try to take that approach. But I take it to a different level, I guess, with my guys. I try to spend a little more personal time with them, maybe invite them out to barbecues, things like that. Really find out what makes them tick, not just inside the ring and gym, but also outside. I think that kind of sense of camaraderie really helps bring everybody together and bring everybody up together as a whole. Also, I want to make sure that, you know, all of them are prepped the right way. So I make sure that their nutrition's right. I make sure that they're cutting right. I make sure that if they're not in the gym, I'm calling them, find out, make sure that they're okay. And if they are okay, then I rip on them for not being in the gym, you know, things like that. I truly think that's what puts us, in a little higher winning streak, I guess you could say, or higher
of
winning
course.
Rate.
Of course. Yeah, for sure. Especially when you have the number of fighters that you do, and you do maintain those relationships with each of them, and definitely it shows your character and it shows how dedicated you are to training them to be at the level that you are at.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And it's good to see, you know, people recognize that as well. It is phenomenal. I mean, I pour my, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into these guys, and not that any other coach doesn't. I think another difference with myself as opposed to other coaches is not only do I have an extensive amateur background, but an extensive professional background. I also do pro boxing, pro kickboxing, and I am still currently competing in all of the aforementioned. So I think that really kind of helps everybody acclimate in a different respect than most gyms. A lot of MMA gyms, guys didn't even compete maybe as an amateur, or maybe they only as an amateur, not as a pro, and most of them don't even compete currently. So there are other gyms out there that do that, but I think just the combination of all those together really kind of culminates the solidity that we all have here as a whole team.
Oh, yeah, that has to create such an incredible dynamic for each of your fighters and the experiences that they get. I know that we wanted to get you on tonight. Definitely talk about what is next for you. I know Skippy, he's running our board tonight. He's so excited that you're here. And he wants to know, what's next for you? Are you healed? When are you gonna go beat somebody up?
I love tonight, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
So that's what you do.
No, it's actually, yeah, I'm healed. I've had a lot of people ask. It's funny, you take a month or two off and everybody's like, oh my God, what's going on with you? I've been healed for a while. I really appreciate everybody's concern and everybody just looking and waiting for me to compete. I do want to say that this summer I took a sabbatical. I haven't done that for over a decade. I've always been cutting weight and hardcore dieting and doing a bunch of brutal stuff every summer. I haven't ever been able to just enjoy the summer. So I'm like, I'm in a point I don't need to fight for money. I'm coaching for my paychecks these days, so I fight for fun now. And I'm like, I'm going to take a sabbatical, and I'm going to focus on my team and put my energy into them, and I'm going to spend some time at the river. I'm going to drink some beer. I'm going to eat some barbecue, you know what I mean? So I've been able to do that
sure. This
summer.
Especially with what a wonderful summer we've had.
Oh, it has been. It was just like the perfect summer to do it.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Not too hot. It's been great here.
It has. And so that being said, I am looking forward to getting back in. I have a couple other things in the making, but I would say MMA-wise, I will probably be fighting in November. Unfortunately, for those people that love to watch me fight at 45, I am getting older. I don't have the time nor entourage really to focus on myself personally for everything that I need, especially dialing in my diet since I'm coaching so much. I teach every morning, every evening, about 10 hours a day, 3 days a week, about 4 to 8 hours a day, 2 other days a week. So, and I'm almost cornering and coaching every weekend pretty much. So I think I'm going to be fighting closer to 55 and 70. That's what I walk around about 75, and, you know, just easier for me. I think I'll have a lot more fun doing that, and exactly is what I'm headed toward, is doing it for fun and not for a paycheck. I'm interested to see what kind of dynamic that brings, because if I'm not stressed about the money of it, I think I'm going to be able to perform quite a bit better. I don't think it's going to be such a psychological struggle for me personally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me jump in real quick. Enoch, it's Skippy. Once again, big fan. I'm glad to hear that you found a passion for fun again in the sport. It sounds like it in your voice. I know with the big, you know, cards that are starting to stack up here in the Pacific Northwest, it's got to be somewhat tempting. But with what you're saying, would you be willing to go maybe to Thailand to fight, you know, if the money was right, for more for fun and an adventure than to take a fight locally?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's great. Thank you for everything as well. I appreciate that, Skippy. It's great to have your support. I really appreciate that. And, yeah, absolutely, man. I would love to go to Thailand and fight. And, actually, it's funny because I've done, like I said, pro kickboxing, but I haven't done any Muay Thai style. And I really love my elbows and knees. So, you know, that's definitely something I'd be looking toward. And, you know, even MMA in Thailand. I mean, anything, really. I would love to travel. And I really look forward to all those opportunities. I've had the opportunity to go to Japan and Europe a couple different times, and then something happened. I tore my knee out, or, you know, tore my shoulder out. And again, I think that has to do a lot to do with the stress of it all, and under duress, having to make that fight happen financially, and it just was too much. So I think I'm in a much better position for something like that to happen, and I would love it, absolutely love it.
Well, then I will be, next time I talk to John Nutt and Ben Stark over at Dared, I know they're stacking the tournament for the beginning of the year. I'll throw your name in, man, because I think that would be, sounds like you got back to what you found originally for this sport, and that's a love and a passion. I know watching you, especially putting the grind over the last few years, it's great to hear that you actually took time to yourself.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, being single father and all, it's there's a lot to it, and you know, it has been hard, especially like the last few years, just fighting, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and it's been awesome. I wouldn't change anything if I was to go back, except maybe take a little more me time. You know, that's been phenomenal, and it has relit my passion for everything, and my students have really reignited that spark and brought that fun back to it. And for a while, it did. It got to the point where it was like, you know, of course I've always had fun in it, but it was like that I didn't have a happy medium between the fun and the stress of making bills.
So now, obviously, you know, I can hear it in your voice, and I've seen it especially in your posts lately, how much, like I said, more alive you are with the sport. How much is that directly attributed to all those beautiful kids you have learning this sport under you?
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, it gets hard. You get the grind kind of gets at you sometimes. You get down in spirits, and you can definitely see how it wears on the students as well. And being, you know, back on that more happy-go-lucky kind of chipper perspective of it all, everybody is the same way. I mean, they feed off your coach, you know, and this is something that I didn't really learn as much until later on in the game. You know, if your coach is having a bad day, you're having a bad day kind of thing. And, you know, the more that I put out there and the more fun that I have, it seems that everybody learns faster. They want to grind harder. They want to work harder for you, and they want to pay better attention. And it's been phenomenal, man. It really has. And there's nothing more rewarding other than spending time with my daughter, which, of course, is the greatest thing ever. There's nothing else other than that even holds a candlelight to just seeing the way that they light up when they learn, and it's something that you've passed down to them. It's phenomenal. It's, you know, it's not a lot of words I can put into play for that to explain that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm honestly, you know, it's great to see what, like she said earlier, all these wins. But you have something that you touched on earlier, and that's the ability and the years in the cage. How do you teach these kids to learn to deal with the loss?
It's the same thing I've always told them. You know, I made it up to as far as 18th in the world at 145. My professional record's 18, 10, and 2. So I really try to put things into perspective when it comes to a loss. First off, this is not one of those sports where you can just go undefeated. There's nobody in the world. None of the best champs in the world have just gone completely undefeated. This Weidman kid is an anomaly, and he is definitely not going to stay undefeated. Somebody's going to come out there and put an end to that streak. But my point being is that nobody goes through this like that. And I always tell my guys, you know, it's not whether you get knocked down. It's bound to happen. It's how you get back up. The true heart of a champion is the resolve. If you were to bring it down into one specific thing, it's the resolve which makes a champion. It's not the wins. It's how you bounce back. When you get knocked down, what is your reaction? How do you perform under duress? How do you, come back in the face of adversity? That's what makes a true champion. And there's only one way to be able to fight through that. And some guys may not be able to win the next fight, and it may beat them down psychologically. But I always tell them, hey, go out there. We'll change what we need to change. We'll implement more. We'll evolve your game a little bit. We'll give it at least one more go. If you don't think this is for you, if you lose again, you don't think it's for you, you know, I don't agree, but that may be the case. So what I suggest is, you know, put your nose to the grindstone, give it one more shot. And 95% of the time, they come back smarter, harder, stronger, faster, better, and they persevere and they win. I have had very few people leave since we've opened this spot.
That is so excellent for you to, especially putting it like that. It's so excellent because every time you walk out with them, I can see you. You're talking to them the whole way out. You're guiding them. And they look so, every single one of the fighters looks so calm, so cool, so relaxed as soon as they step in that cage. It's like, we've been here a million times, we've done this a million times, we've got it down, we've got it on lock. We're just going to go do this, it doesn't matter the outcome. And it clearly is displayed in every single one of your fighters that gets in the cage at every single event.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I'm stoked that you guys see that it actually shows. And there are people out there that can see it for what it is and recognize that it makes it all worth it. And, you know, and the big key, I would say big key component when it comes to that composure inside the ring and cage is there's nothing, I always tell them, there's absolutely nothing that they're going to face in that ring or cage that I don't put them through time and time and time again in preparation for their fight. I mean, we go nose to the grindstone, blood, sweat, and tears, doesn't matter. You're bleeding, you're puking, get it done, get it plugged, get out here and get busy. That's the way we do it. It's only as bad, you know, it's how bad do you want it. If you want it bad enough, there's nothing that's going to stop you, nothing's going to hold you back. And there's nothing in the gym that I won't put them through that I haven't done myself millions of times. I won't do right next to them, and I will make sure that inside the ring and cage, psychologically, I'm in there with them, and they will persevere. They will have the composure. See it, believe it, achieve it, you know?
That's right, exactly. You said it here first. You've got it down. I want to know. You know I came to your show. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. You got to have another one. You just have to.
That's awesome. We truly appreciate you coming out. You are a very natural talent when it comes to publications and it comes to, you know, the media stuff. You've definitely got it nailed. We really appreciate you coming out. I am working with the Athletic Commission. Things, obviously, everybody knows that are involved here. It is a really tough balance. We are way outweighed as far as, pulling power, but I am trying to work with the sense of integrity with the Athletic Commission in order to be able to hold smokers. The other two, there's only three promoters who held smokers in this state, and the other two are null and void. They're done. They're not even going to try. They're not even going to make an attempt. One of them actually started doing them in a different state. I would like to try to follow through, try to find a way, work through it within, you know, like I said, a sense of integrity be able to work with them. So I'm hoping sometime by the end of the year to have another show, but
cool.
I don't want to get anybody's hopes up.
That's okay. Mine are already up. So that was such an awesome show. And it was so great to see what you do there. before that show, I didn't know what you did. I didn't know. I hardly even knew you. So it was just so cool to see you, especially in your home environment with your home team. It was just really cool to see a show that was so good put on in such a small venue, in such a small gym compared to Rumble at the Roseland or, you know, so many other promotions in Oregon and Washington that put on bigger shows. And yours was just so good, and I cannot wait if you have another one. I definitely want to be there. I definitely want to see it.
Awesome. I appreciate that. We'll definitely have you for sure. We have another show. You'll be the first person that I call definitely to do the publication.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
I also wanted to ask, I know your daughter, she visits the gym quite frequently. How does your training with the kids you teach at the gym transfer over to what you teach your daughter?
Oh, yeah, it's a good question. Kind of took me by surprise there. It went a different direction than I expected. yeah, it actually translates really well because, you know, as I've seen many a times, and other people can probably attest to this, that, you know, you're always harder on your own kid than you are other kids when it comes to teaching something. So it's really taught me to be a lot more patient. I expect more from my daughter because I know her capabilities. However, I can't treat anyone differently in class because all of them are equal, regardless of who they are or who they come from. So it's really actually helped me a lot, especially in the camaraderie that her and I have outside the ring and cage, outside the gym. You know, and I always have her involved. I'll bring her to the shows, and I don't want her desensitized, but I want her educated about everything, and it's helped me so much really mold her, and not just from the self-defense and teaching aspects, but just from sheer fatherhood, just actually being there for her and understanding what makes her tick and you know, how to keep her attention, how to keep her stoked on dad, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I can imagine. Go ahead, Tippy.
Yeah, I was going to say, Enoch, we're going to run short on time here in a few minutes. I want to make sure that the fans listening tonight, even especially outside the Pacific Northwest who might travel here, can find your gym and find any pertinent information. Make sure any sponsors of your gym you get some love to, Twitter, Facebook. Take some time.
Oh, yeah, me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would like to thank Boone's Ferry Chiropractic and Massage keeping me together, and a lot of people from the gym here. I'd like to thank Max Muscle Sports Nutrition and Tualatin. Phenomenal. Reginald's a phenomenal individual. We got a great program there. We do a lot of cross-promotional stuff. Good guy. If you need any nutrition, definitely go there. Bridge City Fight Shop. We've got Sean and Joel there, phenomenal people as well. They're having the weigh-ins for the FCFF here this weekend. We do a lot of stuff with them as well. Anything that you need, they're great guys. They'll work with you. They're all over the place. We got Sidekick is one of our newer sponsors. We're kind of in works right now trying to get that thing going with the Sidekick guys. And let's see, I know I'm forgetting somebody. Of course, U.S. Crane and Hoist, my business partner and the owner of Animals MMA Fitness and Nutrition, Tony and Janet Darcy, phenomenal people, great hearts, who are also success stories due to MMA. They both were in life-threatening conditions, you know, overweight and things like that, getting older. They both lost over 100 pounds to keep themselves healthy and going through this sport. So they're awesome people, awesome hearts. You know, just all around great people. Mr. Color, one of my students, he is actually dying to clean your carpets is what his motto is. Antonio Gutierrez. And he does lots of different dyeing things for the carpets and puts it in. So if anybody needs any good carpet cleaning, or you need your you know, parts of your carpet dyed or bleached or anything like that, he's the guy, Mr. Color. So you know, if there's anybody else that I forgot, it's just because I get punched in the head a lot. It's nothing personal. Sorry. But, yeah, that pretty much covers it. You know, I always give a shout-out to Bella Grace. I love you, baby doll. It's my daughter.
Aw, very sweet.
I'm glad to see the passion and the fire for fun in your into this sport. I would love to fight. I don't care if it's local, if it's over for dinner, you know, in Asia. I'd just like to see so I'm excited to hear that, and I thank you as a fan and as media tonight for your time.
You guys kind of cut out there at the last. I couldn't quite hear you.
I just said I want to thank you, you know, from not only a fan point but a media point for coming on tonight's show and giving us the lowdown about you, the gym, your career, everything. So I can't wait to see you back.
Awesome, brother. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you all as well very, very much. I appreciate the exposure you give these guys, these up-and-comers, man. It's not important. It's imperative, you know what I mean? And I appreciate how much you guys know what I mean on that. And anybody else that doesn't know, anybody else that's not trying to get exposure for their students, man, you got to. Cage Fire Radio is the place to do it. Don't be shy. Get at them. Let them know. Put them out there, man. Get you guys some exposure. I truly appreciate what you guys do for the love of the sport. It's phenomenal, and I'm absolutely honored to be able to work with you all.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight and for giving me the guest. I'm so excited that we had them both on. So thank you, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys for having us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you. You have a good night.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good night as well. I appreciate it, and I hope to talk sooner than later.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you on.
All right.
Peace. Everybody, if you guys are looking for a great gym to go try out while you're visiting Oregon, you guys get on there and find Animal MMA. If you guys can Google it, you can find it easily. You guys can hit up Miss Caitlin. You can hit up me. Anybody at Madhouse will get you their phone number and addresses to train there. If you live local and you want a great gym that takes care of amateurs and will work pros, or you just want to get healthy, you just want to feel better about yourself, you get a hold of Enoch and you get a hold of Animal, you get a hold of Madhouse, we'll get you guys all together, okay? Miss Caitlin, Miss Kari, we got about 2 minutes. You guys want to do any shout-outs before we wrap up the show?
Of course. I want to give a shout out. I haven't done it all year, but I want to give a shout out to Kari. Thank you for joining me this summer for our show. I appreciate it so much. I've been bouncing around with the co-host, so I'm so excited that we finally got you on here.
Well, thank you. I love being on here with you. You are one great person to work with. You know your stuff. You're a blast.
So awesome. Being on thank here. You. Cool. I'm hoping for everybody listening that we have a couple weeks left before I go to school of Cage Fire Radio. So seriously, if you have somebody you want on this show, if you have a coach, a fighter, somebody, I don't know, anybody that you want on the show, please contact me or Skippy or Kari, anybody in Madhouse. Let's get them on. Let's give them some exposure. We'd love to have them. You know, it's so much better when we get people offered to us for guests. So definitely please hit one of us up or else.
And are we going to get any like Christmas editions or spring break? Maybe you can call us live from Cancun.
Yeah, I know, right? It'd be like one of those like radio gone wild where like the parents are hiding and they ask about what your kids been doing in Cancun or something. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Those are so funny.
Lapaki just sent me a message. He said spring break is why Oregon University is falling behind Beaver State. Oh.
Whatever. Are you free? Hey, what? You hush, okay? I don't even know what to say to you.
ladies, I so love doing the show with you guys. It is always a pleasure.
You wouldn't even believe it. The other day, I posted about those duck tickets I didn't get, and, like, this girl, she comments on my status. She goes, you guys don't get, you know, like free tickets. I was like, yeah, well, we get like a lottery system depending on who gets tickets. She goes, oh, OSU just gives them to everybody. I wanted to comment back so badly and be like, I wonder why. I did it. Because she was going there this year and I held back. But
what's on tap? You guys got guests for next week or no? We got you guys asking for guests for next week.
We're asking. I don't think we have anybody lined up.
No, we don't.
Well, we will work on that. Any of you fighters, fans, promoters, coaches, sponsors that have fighters you think need to get some exposure and fans out there don't know enough about, or you just want everyone to know how good they are, man, hit up Miss Caitlin, hit up Miss Kari, hit up the bad man himself, Skippy the Pimp, and we'll get you hooked up.
Hey, come to the garden hill, so it's okay.
Hey, I'm not wearing overalls today, and my garden is rocking. I got so many watermelons. I got so many watermelons, I could sell them on a freeway off-ramp. That's how
many. What would you do if you came home one day and somebody just, like, ran a tractor through your garden? What would you do?
First of all, I would be very, very, very sad. Second of all, I have a beautiful Browning in my closet that I would load, and I would go find the guy and shoot up his vehicle that ran over my beautiful garden. Dude, I swear, my spirit of corn, I've been bumping them up with some bloom nutrients. I've been hitting them real high with the nitrogen. And then I switched over to a really high, you know, PK value. And boom, my corn, I mean, it's like a softball around, dude, thick. Stock, just big ears, dude. Oh, it's so good.
That's awesome.
That's
you know, when I go to school, you can send me a care package of your garden specialties.
I would be more than happy to send you some homemade vegetables that were grown all GMO-free.
Okay, cool.
Except for the small amount of chemtrails that came over the garden during the grow season. They're really ready to go.
Cool. Awesome. So if any Madhouse members are listening, apparently we're having a team barbecue at Skippy's in like 2 weeks, okay?
Dude, I will challenge everyone to horseshoes.
Wow, is that your game?
Yeah, dude, I built horseshoe pits out in front of the studio. Right by, we have a koi pond. We got an 1,100-gallon koi pond we built. And, like, right on one end of the koi pond is the beginning of one horseshoe pit, and then it goes all the way across 50 feet to the next pit, across the beautiful green yard.
Wow.
Yeah, and it gets better.
Do you have garden gnomes in your yard?
I do not, but I have, like, 70 potted plants, like flowers all over. I live on a cliff on a dead end. And what my view is Smith Rock, one of the world's most renowned rock climbing walls, all the way to Sisters.
Yeah.
So all I've got, yeah, I've got 38 foot of glass living room window. That's how beautiful the view is.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like I said, there's a team barbecue at Skippy's.
and what's even cooler is the RV that we have sleeps 10. So we've got an RV parked on the property for people to crash in. It's got full water, sewage, garbage. I mean, it's ready, dude. The Madhouse compound is coming alive.
I'm flying
one day, everybody in Madhouse is just going to ambush you.
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's
ambush
funny.
You in your garden.
You didn't come.
Speak now or forever burn your corn.
Why didn't you come to the last barbecue? You were in town. Oh, it's because you came late with your dad, huh?
Yeah.
That's why. That's right. That's why you missed it. Yeah, that last barbecue,
yep.
You're talking like 8-9 members of Madhouse, like 6-7 fighters, a couple of pro, a couple of amateurs, all just hanging out, barbecuing, partying. It was great, dude. We did like shows.
See, we could do a mutual meeting place in Eugene. That would just be prime.
Okay, ladies, let's wrap this up. You have a wonderful night. I always enjoy joining the ladies at Cage Fire Radio.
Yes, thank you.
And
for
we always
being
love when you're
tonight.
With us. Yes.
Hey, this is a little happiness to play out for everybody. And I know that Mr. Clinch will love this.
I'd like you to meet fucking Bill Miner, famous train robber. He was the first bandit to say, "Hands up, cocksuckers." In 1906, though, things got all fucked. Now, just east of Kamloops, the Imperial Limited headed towards Vancouver. "Hands up, you cocksucker," says Miner and his friends to the engineer. "Take the engine and that car up the track." Took the wrong fucking car. This was the baggage car, not the fucking express car. All they could find was some goddamn liver pills. Soon after, a police posse took after them. "Who the fuck are you?" the sergeant asked.
Why don't you fucking blow me, says Bill Miner. But one of his friends panicked. We're fucked, boys, he says. It's all up. Police found a gun and a bottle of goddamn liver pills. Hands up, you cocksucker, says the sergeant. Hands up.